B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Samach Gimel. We're going to start 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Beis Omid Beis. We saw in the Mishnah that there was a machlokes between Rab Meir, the Tanna Kamma, and Rab Elazar ben Yaakov as to whether if a Yisrael is sharing a chotzer together with a goy, and we know that according to the letter of the law, a goy's residence is not considered a residence. There should be no issue whatsoever with the Yisrael carrying between his home and the chotzer, and vice versa. However, the Chachomim Tanna Kamma said in the Mishnah that since we do not want the Yisrael living in such close proximity to a goy, he may learn from his bad behaviors, and therefore we're making some complication and saying that you have to view the residence of the goy as a residence, and if you don't take care of it, and we'll have to see later on in the Masech, in the Perek, how to take care of it, that you actually have to rent part of the goy's rishus from the goy, and the goy is not going to be so happy to do that on a weekly basis, and that will cause the Yisrael to move away from the goy, which is what we want. It's a side benefit that the Chachomim wanted to gain. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Mishnah says that since it's very rare and uncommon for Yisrael to dare to live so close to a goy on his own, and it's only when there's two Yisraelim living together in the chotzer, then they would share the chotzer with the goy. So only in that case, the Chachomim said that the goy's residence poses a problem to the Yisrael in order to prevent a more common occurrence of two Yisraelim living so close to a goy. However, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if just one Yisrael lived with a goy, something very uncommon, when we do not need to make any decree and we just ignore the residence of the goy, and the Yisrael can carry from his home to the chotzer. That's what we saw in the Mishnah and the Gemara we learned on Daf Samach Beis. And now we're going to have a whole daf now discussing. We're digressing somewhat and discussing the halachas of on what level and to what degree is a Talmid allowed to rule halacha even in the country, in the town, in the close proximity of his Rebbe. Says the Gemara, Omar le Abayla of Yosef. And we'll just recap the last few lines. Let's go back an extra couple of lines. What we already learned at the end of the previous shir, the Omer of Yehuda Mashmuel, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and according to Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, you can publicize that and make that public knowledge. Rav Huna said you shouldn't make it public knowledge, but you can rule that way if somebody asks you. And Rabbi Yochanan says you should not rule the lenient opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, just if somebody does, you don't need to make an issue out of it. Says the Gemara, Omer le Abayla of Yosef, Kaimelon, we know there's a principle, Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Kav Venoki. The rulings in Mishnayos from, in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, are very few, like a Kav, and they're Noki, they're very pure, which means the Halacha is always like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. V'omer Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And we saw that Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, that Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Asks the Gemara, Mai lo'iruye b'mokim raboy. And we're assuming that it's very clear, and it's not something that needs to be weighed up and decided upon. It's common knowledge that Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So what happens if somebody asks a Talmid, a disciple, in front of his Rebbe, this question about whether one Yisrael or only two Yisraelim have an issue with the goy in the chotzer? If somebody asks a Talmid in close proximity of his Rebbe who the halacha is like, is the Talmid allowed to say the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Because it's not called making a ruling, because it's just common knowledge, and therefore it should be mutter. Or do we say no? Even something that everybody knows and is very clear, in the place of your Rebbe, you should not be answering any questions. Omale, Rav Yosef responded to Abaya and said, Afila be'aso b'kutcha. Even a question, whether one's allowed to eat an egg, which was taken from inside a chicken, are you allowed to eat it with kutach, which is milky? And it's very, very clear. Everybody knows that even though it was taken from a chicken and a chicken is meaty on some level, but the egg itself is not considered meat, and there's no issue with eating an egg with milk. Even a question like that, bo minei Rav Chisda. So Rav Yosef says, I asked Rav Chisda whether there's an issue with eating an egg with milk. Kol shoni derav Huna, all the years that Rav Huna was alive and was close to Rav Chisda, and Rav Huna was Rav Chisda's Rebbe, Rav Yosef says, all those years I wanted to test Rav Chisda to see whether he would rule in front of his Rebbe, Rav Huna. And indeed, all the years that Rav Huna was there, Rav Chisda refused to answer me. Rashi says that's all Rav Yosef had in mind with his question to Rav Chisda about the egg, was to test whether Rav Chisda was going to rule in front of Rav Huna. Omele Rav Yaakov bar Idi la'abaya. Kegoin Megillas Tainis. What about the halachas that are mentioned in Megillas Tainis? Megillah is called a scroll, and actually at that point in time, the only part of Oral Torah that was actually written down was Megillas Tainis, which is the halachas of which days you're allowed to fast, and to hespedim, what days are considered a Yom Tov. And since it was written down, it was common knowledge for everybody. So he says, Kegoin Megillas Tainis to Ksiva o Mancha. It's written and available for everybody. You don't need to be a Talmud Chacham with a vast memory to know the whole Torah in order to know those halachas. Ma'u la'ruye ba'asrei derabbi. May a Talmud rule those halachas even in front of his Rebbe. Omar le. And Abaya answered and says, Hach Omar Rav Yosef. Again, Rav Yosef said, Afilo be'asa b'kutcha. Even regarding the question, which everybody knows the halacha, are you allowed to eat an egg with milk? Bo minei Rav Chisda kol shoni de Rav Huna. All the years that Rav Huna was alive, I asked Rav Chisda, who was Rav Huna's Talmud, this question. V'loy oiri. And even though it was common and straightforward, he didn't want to rule for me, because you're not allowed to rule a halacha in front of your Rebbe. So also Megillas Tainis, and also eating an egg with milk, and also whether the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which is the topic that we're discussing now. According to Rav Yosef, you would not be allowed to, or that's what he says, Rav Chisda did not rule in front of Rav Huna, therefore Talmud is not allowed to rule this in front of his Rebbe. Rav Chisda, now the Gemara is saying another incident, Rav Chisda oira bekafri b'shnei de Rav Huna. Then, even though Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, they both lived in Bavel, nonetheless, Rav Chisda, who refused to answer Rav Yosef in front of Rav Huna regarding the halacha of the egg and the milk, but it says Rav Chisda, when he was in Kafri, then even though his Rebbe Rav Huna was still alive, he would answer the halacha even though Rav Huna, his Rebbe, was still alive, Rav Chisda would answer. Why? Because even though they were both in Bavel, they were both in the same country, but they were in different cities. Rav Huna was in Pompadisa, and Rav Chisda was in Kafri. Similarly, Rav Huna Oiri, Rav Huna, who was actually a Talmud, both of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, and Rav Hamnuna Oiri Becharta de Argaz, in the place called Charta de Argaz, and Rav Hamnuna, who was there, he would rule halachas there, even though B'shnei de Rav Chisda, whilst his Rebbe Rav Chisda was still alive. Why? Because Rav Chisda was in Kafri, and Rav Hamnuna was in Charoso. Says the Gemara, Ravina sar sakino b'bovel. Ravina, who was in Bovel, he would inspect a knife before doing shechita, before slaughtering, one has to check the knife, and Ravina would check the knife, even though his Rebbe, Rav Ashi, was still alive. Omale Rav Ashi, his Rebbe Rav Ashi asked Rav Huna, "Mai tama ovat mar hochi? Why did you act disrespectfully? Why did you check the knife in front of Rav Ashi? I, your Rebbe, I'm alive." Omarle, so Rav Huna explained, "V'har Rav Hamnuna oiri becharto de argaz b'shnei de Rav Chisda. Did Rav Hamnuna not rule halachas in his place in Charta de Argaz, even though Rav Chisda's Rebbe was still alive? Why? Because Rav Chisda was in a different place. Rav Chisda was in Kafri. So to here, Rav Ashi was in Mosa Mechasya, elsewhere in Bovel, and therefore Rav Huna allowed himself to inspect the knife, even though his Rebbe Rav Ashi was alive. Omar Le, so Rav Ashi said to him, Lav Oiri Itmar. No, you think that Rav Amnuna was Oiri, he ruled, even though Rav Chisda was his life? No, he didn't. Loi Oiri. You heard it wrong. You have to, what the real story was, that Rav Amnuna did not rule in the time of Rav Chisda, even though they were not living in the same place. Omar Le, so Ravina answered back, Itmar Oiri, Ve'itmar Oiri. There were some reports that Rav Amnuna ruled even though Rav Chisda was alive, and there were other reports that he did not rule when Rav Chisda was alive. And how do we understand this? Bishnei de Rav Huna Rabbi Hudaloi Oiri. Rav Huna, who was the Rebbe of Rav Chisda, and Rav Huna was also the Rebbe of Rav Amnuna, that all the while Rav Huna was alive, Rav Amnuna did not rule any halachas. However, after Rav Huna was not alive anymore, but Rav Chisda, who was a Talmid of Rav Huna, and also a Rebbe of Rav Amnuna, that's when he did rule halachas. Bishneider Rav Huna Rabbi Yehuda lo Oiri. Va'oiri Bishneider Rav Chisda. However, he did rule in front of his Rebbe Rav Chisda. The Talmid Chover Dilei Hava. It's true that on some aspects Rav Chisda was considered a Rebbe of Rav Amnuna, but on some levels they were similar to each other. They were equal in knowledge, and it's just that he'd learned some things from Rav Chisda. So he was considered, Rav Amnuna was a Talmud on some level, but not to the extent that it was also to rule halachas whilst Rav Chisda was alive. Vano nami Talmud chove demar ano. So Ravina says, I'm also considered an equal with Rav Ashi. I've learned from Rav Ashi. I'm a Talmud, but I'm a Talmud chover. I'm a disciple who's equal to the Rebbe, and therefore I'm allowed to rule the halachas. And Rav Chisda, who ruled the halachas, even though his Rebbe Rav Huna was alive, Tosfos says it must be that he was also a Talmud chover of Rav Huna. And therefore we see from here that if it's a Talmud chover, then one is allowed to rule halachas in front of one's Rebbe. But if it's a proper Talmud, not a Talmud chover, even if they're not living in the same place, like we saw before, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, one was in Pumpadisa, one was in Kafri, or Rav Chisda and Rav Amnuna was in Charta and Rav Chisda was in Kafri, or Ravina and Rav Ashi, that Rav Ashi was in Mosa Mechasya, Ravina was elsewhere, that only because there was a Talmud Chover, they were allowed to rule halachas, but if it's not a Talmud Chover, then those distances would not help, and one's not allowed to rule halachas in front of one's, or in the lifetime of one's Rebbe. Omar Rava. Rava said, Tzurva mirabonon chozi l'nafshei. If a person wants to eat a chicken, a cow, and wants to shecht it, his Rebbe is alive. Is he allowed to check the knife for his own use? He knows he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a Tzurva mirabonon. Is he allowed to check the knife for his own use, to do his own shechita? Or does he have to go and respect his Rebbe and say, is checking a knife is similar to asking a question, and instead of deciding on your own, go and ask your Rebbe. So Rava says that a Tzurva Merabonon is allowed to, he's not ruling for somebody else, he's just ruling for himself, and that's allowed. Ravina Ikle L'Mechoiza. Ravina was visiting a place called Mechoiza, which is where Rava lived. Aisa Ushbizchinei Sakino V'Komachvilei. So the innkeeper, his host, where Ravina was staying, brought the knife to him, to Ravina, and wanted him to check it. Omale, so Ravina told the innkeeper, Zil amtai le Rava. Go take it to Rava. This is not respectful, for I'm in Rava's place, it's not respectful for me to check the knife here. Omale, so the innkeeper said to him, Lo yisovar mar hodo omar Rava. Do you not agree with what Rava himself said, that tzovar mirabonon chozi le nafshei? That a Talmud Chacham is allowed to check his knife for his own use. I only want you to check the knife in order that I can shecht the animal to feed you, Ravina. So you're doing it for yourself. And Rava allowed that. Omale, Ravina said to his innkeeper, said, no, ano mizvan zvina. I'm not checking it for me. I'm checking it for you. I'm paying you for the meat you're going to give me. And since I'm buying the meat, the chicken, whatever it is, I'm buying it from you, then I'm not checking it for myself, I'm checking it for you, and that's inappropriate in the place of Rava. Continues the Gemara. Simon Zilo Mahanya Machlif Iko VeYakiv. Zilo means the disrespect. Mahanya proved itself, which means it contributed to the fact that somebody received a punishment. And why did he receive the punishment? And that is because there were three Rav Achas in the following incident. We have a Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, we have a Rav Acha Bereder of Ika, and we have a Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And the fact that Rabbi Lezer Me'agrunya, he was disrespectful, he was mezalzel, zilo, he was mezalzel, he got punished because he gave advice to Machlif, which is Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, who was visiting Rav Acha Bar Akka, and gave him advice not to give respect to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And that's the Machlif Iko VeYaakov, three Rav Achas in the following incident. Let's see it in the Gemara. Rabbi Leza Me'agrunya, Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, these two, they were Iklu Lebei Rav Acha Bereder of Ika. They were visiting the home of Rav Acha Bereder of Ika. Where? Ba'asrei, in the city, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. In the city whose Rav was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Boyer of Acha Bereder of Ika, Lemevid Lu Iglatilsa. The host, who was of Acha Bereder of Ika, wanted to prepare an Iglatilsa, Lemevid Lu Iglatilsa, which is an egel, is a calf. Tilsa means either a third in number, which is a third born calf, or that means a third born from its mother, or if it's a third of its size. Two pshatim in Rashi. Aisa sakina v'komachve luhu. So this Rav Acha Bereder of Ika, he brought the knife in front of his two guests, Rabbi Leza Me'agrunya and Rabbi Acha Bar Tachlifa, that they should check the knife. Omalu Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa. Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa said to the host, to Rav Acha Bereder of Ika, are you not concerned that you're not respecting the elder, the Rav of your town, who is Rav Acha Bar Yaakov? Omalu Rav Loza Me'agrunya, the second guest, Rav Loza Ben Agrunya, said to him, Hocha Omar Rav, did Rav not say, Tzorvim Rabbonon Chozi L'Nafshei, that a Talmud Chocham is allowed to rule, he's allowed to check his knife on his own? Chozi. So he inspected the knife on his own, and he did not make the host, Rabbi Acha Bereder of Ika, go to ask Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov. V'iyanish Rabbi Leza Me'agrunya, and this Rabbi Leza Bar Agrunya, he got punished for the fact that he checked his own knife and didn't send it to the elder of the town, Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov. V'omar Rava, the Gemara is now asking, why indeed did he get punished? V'omar Rava Tzurvim Rabbonon Chozel Nafshe. Is it not true that a Talmud Chochem can inspect his own knife for his own use? Says the Gemara, Shani Hosom De'eschilu B'chvoidei. The very fact that they'd already brought up the respect of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, and that was Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, who he actually said to the host of Acha Bereder of Ika, why don't you go and respect Rav Acha Bar Yaakov? And the fact that the respect of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov already came up, it was then inappropriate for Rabbi Elazar Me'agrunya to say, no, don't go to the Rebbe. V'iboy Seima, or another explanation, Shani Rav Acha Bar Yaakov de Muflug. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov wasn't just the elder of the city, he wasn't just the Talmud Chacham, the Rav of the town. He was also the wisest and also the eldest of the town. And therefore, in such a case, Rava did not say in his halacha that you can check the knife on your own, and in any event, one should go and ask the muflug, the one who's the oldest and wisest, should have been the one to answer the question, to rule on the knife. Omar Rava, says the Gemara, ulafrushe meisura, even though we've discussed now that a Talmud should not rule the halacha, or give any guidance in the place of his Rebbe, however, lafrushim misura, to stop somebody, prevent somebody doing an Avera, afilu befonov, even if you're in the presence of your teacher, shapir domi, it is correct to rebuke somebody else and stop them doing an Avera. Ravina v'yosef kameda Ravashi. Ravina was sitting in front of Ravashi. We already saw before that Ravina was a Talmud Chava, but he was a Talmud of Ravashi. Chaz yolau gavra, and he saw this person, he was about to tie his donkey onto a palm tree on Shabbos. And you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. It's a drabonon, but you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. Roma beikola. So Ravina raised his voice and told this person, you're not allowed to do that. This person did not listen to him. Omer le. So Ravina said to him, Lehava hai gavra b'shamta. This person who didn't listen and is tying his animal to the tree on Shabbos should be excommunicated. Omer le. Afterwards, Ravina asked Ravashi, Ki hai gavna mi mischazo ka afkarusa. This type of behavior that I did, that I stopped this Talmud, even though I was in front of you, is it considered disrespectful? Omer le, Ravashi said to him, Ein chochmo v'ein tvuno v'ein eitzo l'neged Hashem. This is what the Pasuk means, that there's no sage or wise man or any advice that stands against the will of Hashem. Kol mokim sheyesh b'chilul Hashem, wherever there's a possibility of Hashem's name being disgraced, Ein cholkin kovod l'rav, one does not need to give respect to one's teacher, and one's allowed to do that. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rava, Befonov Osur v'chayev Misa, a Talmud, a disciple who rules halacha in front of his Rebbe, is not only is it also to do that, if he does it, he's chayev Misa b'dei shamayim. He's liable to death. Shaloi Befonov, if he's not in the presence of his teacher, Osur, nonetheless it's Osur. Ve'inu chayev Misa, however, he's not going to be liable by death. And we already saw in the Gemara before that a Talmud Chavar is allowed to rule Halacha in front of his Rebbe if they're not in the same place. But if they were in the same place, even that would be a problem, as we saw with Ravina and Ravashi. But if it's a proper Talmud, even if they're not in the same place, it's Asa. So Rava is saying here, but there's a difference between whether he's in front of him in his presence or not, and that is whether he's going to be Chayev Misa. Asks the Gemara, V'shaloi b'fonov loy, is if a person rules halachas in front of it, not in front of his Rebbe, is it true that it's only Asa and he's not going to be Chayev Misa? V'otanya, this seems to contradict what we saw in a Braisa. Rebbe Eliezer Oimir, Loi Meisu b'nei Aaron, the two sons of Aaron, Akoyen, Nodav and Avihu, why did they die? They didn't die achahiru alocha b'fnei Moshe Rabbon. It was only when they ruled alocha in the presence of Moshe, their teacher Moshe Rabbeinu. My Dorish, what halocha? Where do we see that? What proof is there? Like, what was going on? What did they rule? Because it says in the pasuk, v'nosnu b'nei Aaron akoyen eish ala mizbeach. The two sons of Aaron, they placed fire onto the mizbeach, and what were they trying to teach with that? And they shouldn't have taught it this way in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't really in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was close enough to Moshe Rabbeinu. Omru, afal pi sha'ish yordom yoredes min hashamayim. Even though fire came down from heaven and was eating the korbonis on the mizbeach, nonetheless mitzvah lahavi min ahedyot. Then human beings should add to that fire, and it's a mitzvah to bring regular fire, mortal physical fire, onto the Mizbeach. And that was something they ruled in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Continues the Braisa. But Talmud Echod Hoyoloi Rebbe Eliezer. Eliezer had this Talmud, Shahir Alocha Bethonov, who ruled Alocha in front of Rebbe Eliezer. Omer Rebbe Eliezer, Le'imo Sholim Ishtoi. Rebbe Eliezer said to his wife, whose name was Imo Sholim, Tamea Niim Yoitzi Zeh Shnosei. I'd be amazed if this disciple actually lives out the year. And indeed, this Talmud died before the year was over. Omra Lois, so this Imo Sholim, his wife, asked Rebbe Eliezer, Novi Ata, are you a prophet? Omar Le, Loi Novi Anoichi, Veloi Ben Novi Anoichi. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. Elokach Mekublanu, I have a tradition, I've been taught by my teachers, Kula Moira Alocha Bifnei Rabbo Ichayev Misa, anybody that rules Alocha in front of his Rebbe is punishable by death. That's the Braisa, says the Gemara. V'omer Rabbi Bar Baruchon Omer Rav Yechanon, Oisei Talmud, who was this Talmud who ruled in front of Rebbe Eliezer? Yehuda ben Gurio Shemoi. His name was Rabbi Yehuda ben Gurio. V'hoya rochoik mimenu sholish parasois. And he was three parasois away from Rebbe Eliezer. And the Gemara here actually means to ask a question on Rava. You, Rava, said that if the Talmud is not in front of the Rebbe, then even though it's Osa, he's not Chayav Misa, why was this Yehuda ben Gurya Chayav Misa if he was three parasoyas away? Answers the Gemara, Befonov Hava. No, what was actually going on there, it was Befonov. It was in the presence of Rebbe Lazar, and that's why it was Chayav Misa. Asks the Gemara, V'harochoik mimenu sholish parasoyis ka'omar. But was it not said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon that this Talmud was three parasoyis a distance from Rabbi Lazar? Answers the Gemara, U'letam meich, even according to the way you understand it, that he was far away from Rabbi Lazar. Shmoi v'shem oviv lomo. Why did one have to mention his name, his father's name? His name was Yehuda, his father's name was Gurya. Why is that important? Elo sheloi toimar moshel hoyo. The reason that Rabbi Yochanan gave all the details about this story was that people shouldn't just think that it was just like an allegoric type of incident, but it didn't actually happen. So we're giving all the little details just so people should realize this is a real incident, it really happened. So too, regarding the rochoik, what it means is that where he lived, his home, was three parasois away. But when he ruled the halacha, he actually ruled it when he was in the presence of Rebbe Lazar, and that's why he was Chayev Misa. And Tosfos says that the two sons of Aaron, even though they were not right in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were not present there, however, they were within three parasois, and that's also considered Befonov, and that's why they were Chayev Misa. This Yehuda ben Gurya, who was initially, we thought, when Rabbi Yochanan said he was three parasois away, we thought that he was outside the area called Befonov, and therefore, why is he Chayev Misa? The Gemara says, no, he was actually in front of Rebbe Lazar when the story happened, even though his own place of residence was further away. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Chia bar Abba Omar Rabbi Yochanan, who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol hamoyre halocha bifnei rabbi. Anybody who rules a halacha in front of his Rebbe, ro'u la'kisho inocho, she deserves to be bitten by a snake. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayan Elihu ben Barachel Habuzi, Vayoimer Tzoyr ani le'yomim. The Pasuk says that this Eliyahu ben Barachel, he was Habuzi, he answered and said as follows. He said, Tzoyr ani le'yomim, Vagoimer al-kenzo chalti. I am young in days, and therefore I was afraid to offer my opinion. So this word, zochalti, which means I was afraid, uchsiv, it's similar to another word that says, im chamas zoichale offer, that if Hashem gets annoyed, gets angry with people who do aveiros, then with the venom of those that slither through the dirt. So you see that the word zoichale, that's the way Hashem, his anger is expressed, they are, zoichale means those that slither through the earth, and those are snakes. And the fact that this person, Elihu ben Barachel al-Habuzi, he said, the reason I'm afraid to speak up, to offer his opinion, was because of zoichale. He's afraid. He used the word zoichale. It means he was trying to say that if I do speak up, even though my Rebbe is alive, I'm risking being bitten by zoichale, by the Zeichale offer, which are the snakes. Continues the Gemara, Ze'iri Omar of Chanina. Ze'iri said in the name of Rav Chanina, Nikra Chayta, somebody who rules a halacha in front of his Rebbe is called a sinner. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Bilti Tzofanti Imros Imrosecho Leman Lo'echtoloch, that in my heart I have hidden your word, so I should not sin to you. And the Gemara is now going to explain this. Rav Nuna asked an apparent contradiction. Ksiv in one pasuk it says, "Belibi tzofanti imrosecha," that in my heart I have hidden your word, which means that David HaMelech did not want to express the halachas that he knew in his heart. Uchsiv, but in a different pasuk it says, "Bisarti tzedek b'kohol rav," I have proclaimed judgment in a large assembly, which means that I had no issue with saying the halachas. Loikasha, it's not, and the way we're answering the seeming contradiction, kan bizman she'iro ha'yo'iri kayom, that all the while that Iro ha'yo'iri was alive and he was considered as David HaMelech's Rebbe, then all the while his Rebbe was alive, He kept all the rulings in his heart. He did not want to be. He didn't want to say any halachas because his rebbe was alive. Kan bizman she'ein iru hayo iri kayim. However, after iru hayo iri was no longer alive, then David HaMelech could publicly rule the halachas. Says the Gemara, Omer Abba Bar Zavta. We're digressing a little bit to speak about the relationship between David and Yoir. Anyone who gives all his the matonis, the donations, which what the Torah says you have to give to a kohen, if you give it to a single kohen, maybe rav la'olam, it can bring famine to the world. Where do we see this? Shenemar, it says iro hayo iri hayo kohen le David. Iro iri, he was the kohen to David. L'David would have a kohen, and by the way, kohen l'David means he was a rebbe of David. That's how we know that he was his rebbe. But now the Gemara is saying l'David would have a kohen. Was this person iro hayo iri? Was he only a kohen for David? L'kule al maloi? Was he not a kohen to the rest of the world? A kohen is a kohen for everybody. Elo shahoyo mashagir loy matanoisav. What the Pasuk is trying to tell us is that David HaMelech, he was David HaMelech's kohen, so to speak, which means that the matnos kohuna that David HaMelech was giving away, he always gave it to this one person. Uchsiv Basrei, what does it say immediately after that? Vayihi rov b'mei David. There was a famine in the name of David. So the Pasuk, the fact that the Torah writes this so close is to tell us that if you give all the matnos kohuna to a single kohen, that it is cause for famine. And now the Gemara is going back to the discussion of ruling halachas in front of one's rebbe. Rebbe Leza Oimer, Moiridin Oisei Migdulosei. A Talmud who rules a halach in front of his rebbe, then if he had any greatness before, that gets taken away from him. Shenemer, it says in the Pasuk, Vayoimer Elozo HaKoyen El Anshe HaTzova. Elozo HaKoyen said to the people, to the army. So Elozor, who's the son of Aaron HaKoyen, and he was teaching the people in the army, even though his Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, was still alive. Even though Elazar clearly told the army, he gave respect to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, "La'achi Abba, Moshe Rabbeinu, my father Aaron's brother, Tziva. Hashem gave the halachas to taught Moshe, v'oisi loy Tziva. Hashem did not transmit these halachas directly through me. Afilahach, and nonetheless, even though he gave Moshe Rabbeinu due respect, however, Elozo ben Aaron HaKoyen got punished. How do we know he got punished? Tchsiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'lifnei Elozo HaKoyen Yamoid, that Yeshua was told that after Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, and you're going to have some questions to ask, and you're not going to know the halachas, you can go and seek advice from Elozo ben Aaron HaKoyen. V'loi ashkechon d'itzrich leilu Yeshua. But however, when we look through what we know from the historical events, that never happened that Yeshua actually had to turn to Elazar to ask him any advice. So from the fact that Yeshua was clearly told that he would have had to resort to Elazar, and that didn't happen, you see that Elazar was lowered from that level of greatness, and had he not ruled to the soldiers in the place of Moshe Rabbeinu, then indeed Yeshua would have had to turn to him. But now that he ruled Halach in front of Moshe, he lost that status, and Yeshua did not have to come to him to ask him any questions. Continues the Gemara, Omer Ablevi, called the Moisiv Milo Kamei de Rebbe, anyone who answers a word in front of his Rebbe, Ozil L'sh'ol B'loi V'lod, he's going to go to the grave without any children. Shenemar, Vayan Yeshua bin Nun Moshoris Moshe Mibachurov. It says that Yeshua bin Nun, he was the attendant of Moshe, and he said as follows, Vayoyme Adoini Moshe Kloim, my master Moshe Kloim is going to destroy them, is going to lock them up. So Yeshua told Moshe what, so to speak, it was Yeshua was telling Moshe, his master, what to do. And that's similar to giving a halacha or to saying something in front of a rebbe. Uchsiv, and it says in a psukim in Divrei Yomim, Nun benoi, Yeshua benoi. It says that Nun was his son. It's talking about Elishama, who was the father of Nun. So Elishama had a son, Nun. And Nun had a son, Yeshua. That's why he's called Yeshua bin Nun. Yeshua benoi. And then it doesn't say who Yeshua's sons were. So it seems that he left no sons. And therefore the Pasuk doesn't record who his sons were. And why did he leave no sons? Because he told Moshe Rabbeinu what to do. Continues the Gemara. Upligad of Abba Bar Papa. This seems to contradict what Rav Abba Bar Papa says, that there was a different reason that Yeshua did not leave over any children. Da'amar of Abba Bar Papa, Loinenash Yeshua was the reason he was punished and didn't leave children is Elo Bishvil Shebiteles Yisrael Lailo Achas Mepiri Verivya, because he caused Klal Yisrael to stay away from their wives for one night, causing them to not be able to do the mitzvah of Pru Ravu for that one night. That's why he got punished and he did not leave over any children. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayi b'yoyis Yeshua b'yirichoy, when Yeshua was on the outskirts of Yirichoy, he was trying to conquer Yirichoy as they were entering Eretz Yisrael. Vayisa'inu v'yar, he lifted his eyes and he saw this malach, this angel, standing in front of him with a sword in his hand, clearly coming to punish somebody for something. Uchsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer loy, ki ani sar tzvo Hashem. He said, I am an officer in the army of Hashem, which means that he was an angel. Ato bosi, now I have come. Says the Gemara, Omer loy, this malach, this angel, said to Yeshua, Emesh, yesterday during the day, bitaltem tomid shel beinu arbaim. You did not offer the tomid, the afternoon korban tomid. Va'achshav bitaltem Talmud Torah, and now that it's night time, you're doing bittel Torah. You're neglecting the study of Torah. Al eizem en boso. Yeshua asked the Malach, "Okay, so understand that there was something yesterday that we should have done and didn't do. We were busy in siege. We're busy with the milchama, with the war, and we should have offered the korban. We didn't. Now we should be learning Torah at night. It's true that we're busy now with our siege, but we should have learnt Torah now at night that we're not actively involved in the war. But which one are you coming for? Which one are you annoyed with? Who's against which of these two averas is Hashem sent you?" Omer loy, so the Malach said to him, "Ata bosi, I'm coming for the avera you're doing now." Ata as in now, now it's night, and the avera you're doing now is you're neglecting Torah learning. Miyad immediately vayelech Yeshua balaylo ahu, Yeshua that night went, Besoicho Emek. He went into the valley. What does it mean into the valley? Into the depths. V'omer Rabbi Yechon explained what depths did Yeshua go to? Melameit Shaholach B'umko Shel Alocha. He was delving into the depths of Torah, and that's how he was mending, he was fixing the avera that of the neglect of Limud HaTorah. But what do we see from there? Ugumiri. We have a tradition that the kol zman she'orein u'shchina shruin shloi b'mkoimon, any time that the orein hakodesh, the ark, with the shchina, was not in its place where, in the Mishkan, asurim b'tashmish amito, they were not allowed to have any relationships, and therefore they could not do the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. And the very fact that that night they were still engaged in the war, they remained on the outskirts of the city there, and the Orin was there with them, even during the night. And in truth, the Orin could have gone back to the Mishkan overnight. The fact that he did not go back to the Mishkan, that prevented the people in Klal Yisrael from doing the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. And because Yeshua prevented Klal Yisrael that one night from engaging in relationships, that's why he himself did not merit leaving any children. We also see from this incident, Omar of Shmuel bar Iniyo Mishmei Derav, that Godel Talmud Torah Yosem Akrovas Tmidim, that the learning Torah is even greater than offering korbonos. The Omer Lei, because the Malach said to him, Atabasi, the fact that the angel told Yeshua that I'm coming to punish you, not for the fact that you didn't bring a korban yesterday, but for the fact that you're neglecting Torah learning now, you see that Torah learning is even greater than offering korbonos. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Bruno, Omer Rav. Kol hayoshen bekilo, anyone who sleeps in a room, she ish v'ishto yishruim bo, in which a couple are staying. Olova Kosov Omer, the Posuk is referring to this person when it says, Neshei Ami Tegorshun, the wives of my nation you have chased, Mi Beis Ta'anugel, from the house of their enjoyment. Because you've caused a couple to be embarrassed to be close to each other, and that's a very terrible thing. V'omer V'yosef, Rav Yosef says even more than that. Afilip ishtoi nida, even if the woman is a nida, and therefore there's a limit to how close they could have got, even then, a person who sleeps in the room would prevent such a couple from the closeness that they are allowed to have in the way they speak to each other, and that alone is a serious offense. Rava Omer, Rava disagreed and said, no, im ishtoi nida, in the event that she's a nida, nidohi, tavei lov brocha, and somebody who's in the room with them and it's protecting them from doing any averus, the halachas of nida, he should be blessed for preventing this couple from getting too close to each other. But the Gemara does not agree with Rava. The Gemara says, v'loihi de'ado idna man notre. Until now, until this stranger arrived into their room, who was guarding them? It's clear that a couple does not need to be guarded, and on the contrary, they should be given their space, even when she's a nida, and somebody who's in the room with them is a serious offense. So we finished the sugya that we started regarding the Talmud and how, to what extent one is allowed to rule and say things in front of one's Rebbe. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here and get back to our topic of the Eruv.